You know, I got into this race in 2018 to protect healthcare. I want to strengthen the Affordable Care Act, protect the essential health benefits, fix the parts that need fixing. And my goal is to make sure that every person has access to quality, affordable care. And that comes from my own personal experience with my son, Jack, who developed a very rare infection when he was 12, that landed him in the pediatric intensive care unit of our children's hospital for 24 days when he was on a ventilator. He was in a medically induced coma. He was actually read last rites, not once, but twice. And it was every parent's nightmare. But we are extremely blessed because we had access to excellent medical care and we had really good insurance. And that saved our family from bankruptcy, like so many others. And this is our battle to protect healthcare.
And this is an issue that both you and your opponent have talked a lot about. If you want to keep the Affordable Health Care Act, do you want changes made? What do you see Congress doing with it, at least what you would want to do in 2021?
First of all, there is a stark contrast between myself and Congressman Davis. I am in this race to protect healthcare and build it up and strengthen it. And Congressman Davis has repeatedly voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act. He has voted against lowering the cost of prescription drugs. He has voted against protecting people with pre-existing conditions from over and over again. I am in this to make sure that every person has access to quality, affordable care. And I want to begin by lowering prescription drug costs. And I want to change the formulas of the Affordable Care Act so that more people qualify for subsidies so they can afford what they have or what they need. And I want to make sure that we fix the parts that are broken to make it work better.
Are you continuing to support what's been called the Medicare public option as a way to open up access to healthcare?
Look, you know, my number one priority has always been and continues to be protecting the Affordable Care Act and all the essential health benefits. Any option that I would support, I would make sure to be working with the hospitals and the doctors and the healthcare workers and our communities to figure out what exactly we need to do to make something like that work.
What do you think about how the federal government and Congress in particular has been facing the COVID-19 pandemic? What do you want to do as a member of Congress next year in fighting that pandemic?
Well, first of all, right now I find it shocking that the Senate has recessed with no plan. Congress needs to do its job. They should be there or be voting by proxy to make sure that unemployment benefits are extended, that we have more money in PPP loans for our small businesses. Like, this is what needs to be done now. And we need rapid testing. If we want people to be able to get back to work, then we have to have rapid testing to start moving our economy forward. And we're going to have a big rebuilding process when I get to Congress.
Are there particular things that you want to work on?
One of the things that this pandemic has done is shined a very bright light on some of the things that I've been talking about now for the last couple of years. Some of the disparities, for example, in education, where we have students who literally can't learn remotely because they don't have access to broadband or they don't have access to devices. And these are issues that I will happily take on these challenges as a congressperson. And making sure that we have adequate funding. And we don't know what that's going to look like yet. The fact that Congress has left without helping people, it is a failure, and it's a failure on this administration for the way that they have mishandled helping people during this pandemic.
How has the pandemic affected how you campaign now, given the fact that it's really hard to go out and meet with people in person these days?
Well, I mean, we very quickly moved everyone to working remotely. And I asked all of my, you know, staff and interns and volunteers to make wellness check calls to people around the district. Because at the end of the day, I am asking to represent my neighbors. And this is being a good neighbor. And we did that for about 12 weeks. You know, I'm on the phone every day. We're connecting by phone, by emails, lots and lots of Zooms. What we have seen during this pandemic brings us right back to the initial argument that we have to protect the Affordable Care Act. We have to strengthen it. We have to fix the parts that are broken. And we're in jeopardy because we in Central Illinois have a congressman who has voted 11 times to repeal the Affordable Care Act, who has voted against protecting people with pre-existing conditions repeatedly. And we need to do better than that.
In the wake of the police killing of George Floyd, there have been nationwide protests, including several in the 13th district. How do you think policing should change in this country? What role should Congress play in any such change?
I am so encouraged by the number of people that have really awakened to the injustices that our Black and Brown communities have suffered for years. In terms of how we move forward in Congress, I look forward to addressing both the issues with police, whether it's banning chokeholds, whether it is making investments in better training. But we also have to make sure that we're looking at some of these systemic issues. There are tentacles of racism in so many of our systems, whether it's the economic system, whether it's the education system, whether it's the housing system. These tentacles are very far reaching in our nation, and I am ready to get in there and to start dismantling those systems.
Do you see anything in particular that you would want to work on in Congress along those lines?
Well, I mean, let's start with education and some of the disparities that we see in funding and some of the disparities that we see in access and making sure that we are making proper investments in our public education. I'm a former teacher. I taught 7th and 8th grade middle school, and I believe that the best thing we can do for our nation to move forward, and in fact, I think it's probably one of the tentacles of strengthening our national defense, is to have a well-educated population, and that all begins with public education.
You've made a point of letting people know that you're not taking corporate PAC money in your campaign. On the other hand, Congressman Davis, and at least most recently, he's citing a report by Mark Maxwell of the Nexstar TV stations, says you're taking money from individual lobbyists, and corporate executives and consultants, and from lobbyists with past ties to Illinois House Speaker, State Democratic Chairman Michael Madigan, who was implicated in the federal bribery case against Commonwealth Edison. Does that open you up to the same risk of undue influence as taking PAC money?
I am very proud to have taken the No Corporate PAC pledge. I want people in Central Illinois to know that I am going to Washington to represent people and not corporations. Congressman Davis has said lots of things to try to change the topic from the fact that during his time in Washington, he has taken over $3 million from these corporate PACs. And, you know, he's taken over $200,000 from Big Pharma corporate PACs and then voted against lowering the cost of prescription drugs. And we are going to keep reminding people of his actual voting record, which is in direct conflict with the expressed needs of people across Illinois 13.
Does it make a difference if you're accepting campaign money from individuals tied to those same organizations, those same political action committees, as compared to taking it from the PAC itself?
Look, you know, I mean, individuals earn salaries like other individuals, and they can donate their personal dollars to whomever they individually choose to support. I am proud to not be accepting corporate PAC money because, again, we see exactly what that does to people. And Congressman Davis is a proof point that, you know, after taking $3 million from corporate PACs, that he votes their way instead of in the best interest of people in Illinois 13.
And when the Davis campaign criticizes you for essentially working with Speaker Madigan and with the State Democratic Party chaired by Madigan. Are you comfortable with him as the leader of your state party at this time, given that his office, his speaker's office, was implicated in the federal bribery case against ComEd?
Number one, no one is above the law. And if any of these allegations are true, then any office holder involved needs to step aside immediately. I have not taken any money from Speaker Madigan, not from him, not from any of his committees, not from his leadership PACs, and Congressman Davis knows that. There is an admittedly guilty party in this bribery scheme, and that is ComEd. And Congressman Davis has taken $40,000 from ComEd Exelon PACs.
One final question. When you hear voters talking, especially in recent months with so many things changing, what are the main concerns that you're hearing?
Lowering the cost of prescription drugs is something I hear about in every corner of the 13th District. And Jim, let me tell you that people are making really gut-wrenching choices to be able to afford their prescription drugs. There was a bill called Lowering the Cost of Prescription Drugs that would have allowed Medicare to harness, you know, its buying power to negotiate directly with pharmaceutical companies. And Congressman Davis voted against it. Congressman Davis has taken over $200,000 from these big pharma PACs and then votes against lowering the cost of prescription drugs. That is an overarching issue in every corner of Illinois 13.